y'all for the privilege of prayer. Grab your Bible, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 for just a little while this evening. I can't tell you how much I'm thankful that you're in the house of the Lord tonight. I believe the Lord's glad that you're here. As glad as I am, I believe the Lord's happy. Amen. We're in that time of year. Everybody gets scared of the cold night air. Amen, the cold night air. And we got people legitimately sick and not here tonight. So I'm just talking, all right? I'm just saying something. We was talking with Brother Jordan on Sunday. He said over there at his mission field, he said they think you get a cold. We call it the crud or the cold because you drink cold water. He said they think that if they drink cold water that they get a cold. And I was thinking when he said it, I didn't say it. I said, well, we're even crazier than that over here. We think you get out in the cold night air. That's what causes a cold. And it ain't. I hate to tell you, that ain't what gives you a cold, all right? You ain't got to be scared of the night air. It's the same air that you breathe in the daytime. It's the same air, same H2, amen, same O2, oxygen, amen? And so don't be scared of it. Just live your life. And have a wonderful time. All right? That's all free. You say, my mama told me. Your mama told you a lot of things, wasn't so? Amen. Amen. Psalm 119. Let's look in verse 33. This wonderful, wonderful psalm. If the Lord will help us, want to magnify the word of God again to you, as this psalm does. We're taking 8 verse sections at a time, as it's broke down in the Hebrew alphabet. And one has called it the golden alphabet. And what a valuable, valuable thing the Hebrew alphabet is to our King James Bible, particularly Psalm 119. This is not the only psalm that uses the alphabet as an acrostic, but this no doubt is the greatest manifestation of it or portrayal of it is found right here in Psalm 119. Now let your remain seated. Look with me in verse 33. I'll read the verses. I won't get to these verses. I'll get it started. We'll make a lot of things known to you, said to you tonight, that we want to lay out the thought for this section. And as we've been doing the previous four, we'll give you the introduction, and we'll preach verses on next week. If the Lord will help us, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. I love this next phrase, and I shall keep it unto the end. David said, Lord, if whatever you give me, I won't let it go. I'll hold it fast, and I'll hold it fast to the end. And I'm not going to preach that tonight, but we're living in a day where people are letting go of truth and the Word of God and compromising it, and things they one time said they believed and lived, they no longer believe and no longer live. And David said, if God gave it to me, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to keep it unto the end. May God give us that, amen, in our own discipleship and spiritual life. Give me understanding, he said in verse 34, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandment, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I've longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. We come here to the fifth section of Psalm 119 under the heading of the Hebrew letter. How many of y'all have the letters in the sections tonight? You see it. It is, we would say H-E-H, but it is the Hebrew letter pronounced hey. Considering the symbolic meaning of these letters, we've gone through Aleph, the ox, Beth, the house, Gimel, the camel, and they left the door. We come now to this fifth one, hey, as an emblem of the word of God. Hey is represented by a window. a window. In the last section, I find it interesting. We found the Word of God to be like a door. And I enjoyed that study, enjoyed preaching those thoughts to you. The Word of God is a door. And now we don't altogether leave this matter of different things we would find in a house. We already dealt with the house under the second heading. Now we come to the Word of God like a window. We think about the Word of God as a window. I think it is seen in the simple definition Noah Webster gives of a window. He said a window is an opening in the wall, and I would just simply add here, or a roof for the admission, he said, of light and air. And so it's an opening in a wall, something that represents a boundary. And some tonight think the Word of God is just that. It is a boundary. It is something that is a wall that represents maybe a limitation. But I want to say tonight the Word of God is far more than a wall. And it is a hedge of protection. And it does set the boundaries. But as a window, it is God's way of admitting light and air into our lives. The Word of God gives admission of truth. That is the representation of light and of the Spirit of God. I'll show you by way of a very practical application in a moment, which speaks of that of the air. And so God's admission of light and air to our lives spiritually tonight, we think about windows, that they serve the primary purpose of giving us a view of something that is beyond the dimension that we currently reside. You can be confined in a house, but through a window you can peer into another dimension, another element that you do not currently reside in. We think about that this evening. God's Word lets us see the spiritual dimensions of God Himself, and in particularly the Word of God gives us views of the glory and the grace and the goodness of our God. You think about the Word of God, everything, listen, everything you know about God tonight that you have seen God in God or about God, you have seen it through the Word of God. Amen. Now that's the problem with the 700 Club and TBN. Is that they want to try to enter in spiritual dimensions outside of the Word of God. But everything I know about God tonight, I know it through the window of the Word of God. God has let me see that through His Word. All the glory of God that I've seen, and all the goodness of God that I've seen, and all the grace that I know that my God has, that has come to my life, the knowledge and even the reality of that has come through peering through the window of the Word of God. There's a company, you've heard their commercials on the radio. How many of y'all's heard of Renewal by Anderson? They've got television commercials and radio commercials. And one of the main things that they service in is that of windows. And Renewal by Anderson, I know you didn't show up tonight to hear all of this, but just humor me for a moment. That Renewal by Anderson states on their website, gives five practical facts about the role of windows. Now think about the Word of God in connection to these things. I Brother Riley, had a spell reading Renewal by Anderson, their website. Here's one they said, number one, that the role of a window is that it contributes to your energy savings. It contributes to your energy savings. Here's what they said, and I quote, "Inefficient windows release much needed heat during winter and cool air during the summer." Can I give you the bottom line of all of that? If you don't have a good window, it's going to cost you. If you don't have a good window, it's going to cost you. Can I tell you spiritually tonight, at the Word of God, it contributes to our spiritual energy. And so many tonight think they don't need the Word of God. And they're peering through all sorts of carnal windows, and they live their life with windows that don't have great efficiency ratings. And we could get into how they manufacture all of that and the insulation around them and the way that they're installed. But the fact of the matter is, tonight, spiritually speaking, if you don't have a connection to the Word of God as a spiritual window in your life, amen, you are going to be lacking in energy. You're going to be lacking, amen, in warmth and heat for your spiritual life. And when the heat gets turned up, you're not going to know the comfort of, amen, the cool air during the summer seasons. And there's so many tonight, they're paying a great spiritual price because they do not let the Word of God fulfill its role being a very, very efficient spiritual window for their lives. Renewal by Anderson said, number two, that a window, and the role of a window, is that it boosts your home's aesthetic appeal. We call it curb appeal, and the market value of your home. I think about that in connection to our spiritual lives. You know what happens when we have the Word of God as the window of our spiritual life? It puts some curb appeal to our Christianity. Most of us tonight, if we'd be honest, we're not appealing to anybody that's in the world. I understand the world ain't supposed to get along with us. They hate us. They persecute us. They hate our stand for the gospel and righteousness. But every now and then, there ought to be somebody that sees the Word of God as a window to our spiritual life and say, you know what? They got something I ain't got. Amen. And then the value of our spiritual life in connection to that of the Word of God being a window connected to our life. I want my spiritual life to be a value. Value to God. Value to my family. A value to my church. A value in every aspect of my life and in every relationship that I have. Especially a value to the Lord tonight. And if you just got some shoddy little window that you ain't put no time in, and that my friend is ugly and untrimmed and unfinished and doesn't function properly, it decreases the value of your spiritual life. And so the Word of God and our relationship to it, and we say tonight as a window does a hole, then it boosts the value of our spiritual life. He said, number three, the role of a good wind is that it provides weather protection. It gives you protection from the elements that are on the outside. If you don't have a window, if you just got an opening and there's no window installed in that casing, then you and the home you're living in become subject to the outside elements. Think about that spiritually. The Word of God provides for you and I a protection from the things that are without. All the elements of the world and of the flesh and of the devil and of the gates of hell that would seek to beat upon our lives and upon our homes and upon the work of God around Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. The Word of God as a window provides the protection that we need from those elements that are on the outside. They said, number four, the role of a good window is that it adds functionality to your home. And I'll quote them in this line. I thought, boy, Lord, that's good right there. I can take that and preach off this website. They said it adds functionality to your home. Here's what they said. At windows allow ventilation and lighting, speaking of natural light, into your home. I thought about that statement and the spiritual application of the Word of God as a window to you and I. And without windows, listen, without windows, you would only have artificial light, my friend, to see you. And thank God for the conveniences. Was it Thomas Edison that invented the light bulb and artificial lighting? And what a blessing that is. We amen, we'd be in trouble. But can you imagine living in a world where all you had was artificial light? You couldn't see the light of the sun. And no natural light, no God-given light being shined to you. And then the obvious spiritual application of that is simply this. That there are many today that have ignored the Word of God. And they have no spiritual window of light in their life. And it's light that comes from God. They live their life according to artificial lights of this world and the carnality of it. And you may can live in that, but you'll lose your joy. You'll lose your sanity. It's actually been scientifically proven that human beings, that they need the natural God-given light of the sun. And if you don't have that, and even in parts of the world this time of year where the days get drastically shortened, the depression and the anxiety and even to the point of a rise in suicides this time of year are all attributed to the limitations of God-given light being able to be enjoyed. And how many tonight are suffering at anxious and depressed at spiritually committing suicide because they don't know the functionality of the Word of God as a window to their spiritual life. Amen. You need God-given light in your life. And you don't get that just by artificial means. You don't get that by reading other books. You get it by reading the book. Amen. You got to have the Word of God as a light, a window that lets the light of God into your life. They said windows allow ventilation. That is a window. And even Webster said it in the definition that I gave you. And a window is an opening in the wall, or we have said even a roof, for the admission of light. And Webster said, and air. And we got the conveniences in our day. Somebody say, man, of HVAC systems. And we know what it is to go to the thermostat, and we can control the environment in that. Did you know, now some of y'all knew this, amen, but can we remember it ain't always been that convenient to live life. And the old timers used to build their houses and thought would go into the placement of windows in that structure. And even where they built their house and then the windows in the house, because they knew in the summertime they was going to have to lift those windows and that breeze would have to pass through that house. And that's how they cooled and was able to maintain some level of being able to survive even in very harsh climates and environments. And so that window served a purpose of ventilation. And I wrote this down. I thought about this. Somebody make a note of this, Brother Riley. It's pretty good. Amen. Coming from me. I thought about this air and the ventilation of air. They can only flow through a window that has been opened. You leave a window closed, you ain't getting any ventilation. There'll be no air pass through there. There'll be no feeling of a breeze across your brow so long as the window stays closed. I thought about that in light of our spiritual lives. How many spiritual lives are stuffy? And how many people are miserable, and it's evident they're miserable because they've left the window closed. They ain't opened the window today. Amen. And allowed the Spirit of God to breathe on them and across their lives through the pages of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. That's why we say open your Bible and read it. Why? Because it serves a function in your life. Let the Spirit of God breathe into your spiritual well-being. Amen. Amen. Adds functionality to your home. They said, number five, then it serves a role of ensuring indoor comfort. Again, this is closely connected to number three and providing weather protection. But a window open or a window closed and the function of it, the opening and closing of the shutters, whatever the outside conditions, listen, a window keeps you comfortable
and allows you to know a measure of peace, knowing that it is doing what it is there to do. And I think of the Word of God that on the inside tonight of my heart, there is a comfort in the midst of a world that has gone crazy. And a world that on the outside tonight, when you look around, is full of bad news and wars and rumors of wars from Ukraine, Russia, China, North Korea, now South Korea, and then the catastrophe going on in our own nation and politically and all that. And we see in our day and literally around the world, it seems like, that there is great reason and cause for concern, wondering, how's this going to go and how's this going to turn out? But to the child of God on the inside, there is a peace that abides. Why? Because we know we got a window that ensures our indoor, our inside, our spiritual peace and comfort no matter what goes on in the world. Amen. If the economy tanks and crashes, if you lose your job, amen. If your family has this problem or that problem, or you go to the doctor and you get bad news and you got health concerns, listen, amen, you can bite your fingernails off, pull your hair out, and worry about all that, or you can just let the Word of God be a window that ensures that you have that comfort down on the inside. Amen. Amen. That's pretty good preaching off Renewal by Anderson. Y'all reckon they would give us a sponsorship? Amen. They make enough money, they could write us a check. Somebody say amen. I'll be their spokesman, Brother Tim, if you work on that for me this week. Amen. The word window is used 16 times in as many verses, and windows plural is used another 30 times in the Word of God. We're talking about the Word of God is like a window. And so tonight, these 46 references to that of window or windows in the Word of God gives us many scriptural references to make application of this emblem of the Word of God. Now don't pass out. I'm not going to preach all 46. And there's some wonderful, wonderful things that when you think about this, the Word of God being a wind, and just go to the Word of God and plug that application in. And I'll give you several of them tonight. I'll make our way to our thought, and then we'll pick it back up on next week. That sound good? Amen. That's a few of you. The rest of you's already ready to go. But just bear with me a minute. Genesis 6:16 is the first mention of a window, and it's used in connection to the story of Noah and the ark that God would give him the instructions to build. God, when he spake of building the ark, you remember he told him put a door in the side of it, but he told him that I want you to put a window above. And I thought about that in Genesis 6:16, Brother Jag, that Noah had an elevated window. Now, listen, God closed the door, God shut the door, but through the storm, he had a window that kept him looking up to God. Amen. And I thought about that. The Word of God is like a window. You know what I'm thankful for tonight? Amen. The Word of God, ain't it amazing, the first mention of window in the Word of God? It's something that's elevated, it's something that is upward, it's something. And Noah didn't look, my friend, on the same plane. He's not looking around, my friend, out the window to the storm. Amen. He's looking up through the window. Amen. Looking up toward God. You know what the Bible is from the child of God tonight? Amen. It's an elevated window. It's an elevated window. Amen. If you'll ever set your eyes on it, what does it do? Amen. It gives you that upward look. Amen. A heavenward look. On an outward look on the storms going on in our life. Oh, I know many of God's children tonight. Amen. They're looking out the windows this way. Amen. The CNN and the Fox News and the MSNBCs. And my friend, they're looking through those windows. Amen. And all the storms that are going on around. Child of God, look to the wind of the Word of God. And you'll find an upward look. And no matter how bad the storm is. And by the way, Noah made it through the worst storm man's ever been through. You know how he made it? He had a window that kept him looking toward God through the window. I'm telling you tonight, if you look the Word of God, you'll get an upward look. You'll quit chewing your, amen, your bottom lip. You'll quit worrying about everything. Amen. And you'll know, my friend, that God's in charge and in control, amen, of the storm when you look up to the window. Amen. That's pretty good, ain't it? Then I went on a little further. Genesis 26, Brother Mo, verse number 8. Isaac and Rebekah have come into the realm of the Philistines, and Abimelech, he's the king of the Philistines. And I won't give you all the story. Let me just break it down real simple for you. Genesis 26, 8. Abimelech looked through the window. You know what he saw? He saw the love that Isaac had for Rebekah. In fact, the biblical terminology is that he looked through the window and saw and beheld that Isaac was sporting with Rebekah. And he saw how much Isaac loved Rebekah. Somebody better hold my mule and I'll shout a while. You know what the Word of God as a window is? Amen. If you look through it, you'll find. Amen. You'll find how much that Jesus loves his church. Amen. And I'm glad tonight, you know what this is? Amen. You can sit there and look through the window of the Word of God. And my friend, you'll see that and Christ is very, very fond of his bride. And in this world and in this day that we're living in, I'm glad there's a love story. There's a love scene. There is a reminder of our connection and our relationship on our Savior tonight. Amen. And you'll find it in the Word of God. Amen. Oh, you can have your love novels and your fantasy stories and are full of fornication and adultery. Amen. And rot, gut, vomit. Somebody say amen. But there's a pure love and a pure love story that goes beyond anything any human author has been able to ever put pen and word to paper. And it's a love story that we see through the window of the Word of God. And Christ loves his church. Amen. That's why you ought to peer through the window every now and then. Amen. I saw that. I thought, well, that's pretty good. Amen. Then I seen in Joshua 2:18. Y'all all know this in the name. When Rahab had taken in them spies in Jericho, she let them out a window. And she said, well, if y'all would remember my kindness, when y'all come back and wipe this city out, would you, if God would allow you to have mercy on me and on my family. You remember what them spies said? They said, you just leave this scarlet cord, amen, hanging in this window. When we come back, everybody that's on the inside of that window and has a connection to that scarlet cord, they will be spared when we come back. Amen. I thought about it in this term that Rahab had a scarlet cord of promise. And she had it attached to the window. I'm telling you tonight, what is our reminder? What is our reality tonight? In the Word of God is a window. There is a scarlet cord. Amen. A promise. The blood of Jesus. Amen. Is found in the Word of God. And every now and then, oh, all those days. You remember what Rahab said? We heard about you and your God when you came up out of Egypt. And we've heard of all the wonders he's done. As y'all been coming through the wilderness. And we've been in fear and we've been in dread. And our very soul and spirit has been dreading the day that you come. Oh, but my friend, all the fear and dread was gone. You say, why, preacher? Amen. Because you had a window with a scarlet cord. That was a reminder of the peace that had been made between her and the God of glory. Amen. And that's why you need to get the window tonight. Amen. Because it reminds you there is no fear. There is no dread anymore between us and God. There is peace. There is peace tonight in the window that attaches us to the scarlet blood of Jesus. That's pretty good, ain't it? Amen. I like this one. This will be a little less familiar story to you. Judges 5 and in verse 28 will be the verse you can read. But Judges chapter number 4, you have the days of Barak and Deborah being the judges over the nation of Israel. You remember that Sisera has come to persecute and defeat the nation of Israel. And so they are at war one with another, and God is going to deliver them through Barak and Deborah. Deborah comes to Barak and said, God has said, amen, that he's going to bring Sisera down, and that you're to go out and you're to make war with him and fight, and you're going to put him to flight. And just as she had prophesied to Barak, that's the way it was. And Sisera's on the run. He's left his chariot and he's found himself in a town in the middle of nowhere. And there's a woman that sees him coming and meets him by the name of Jael. Jael brings Sisera in and says, you can stay in my tent and you can dwell here. And Sisera gets in this conversation and he said, will you bring me a drink of water? And she brought him some milk and gave him a drink of milk. And Sisera fell asleep in that tent. And while he was sleeping, Jael went out and got a tent nail, amen, and the workman's hammer, amen. The Bible said, oh, I'd have loved to have met that woman, amen, said she took that nail and that hammer and drove it through his temples, amen, and pinned him to the ground in the tent. When Barak shows up, she said, hey, that guy you're looking for, he's in there. Amen. And you ain't going to need your sword and you ain't going to need an army. He ain't going to be no problem. And Barak went in there and sure enough found it. Amen. With a nail through his head, drove into the ground. So in chapter 5, Deborah and Barak began to sing. They began to magnify the Lord. In Judges 5 and in verse 28, part of that song that they sing is about the mother of Sisera. And the Bible said she's looking through the window and she's talking about, why are the chariots of Sisera so slow in coming? And really, really what you find there, here's how the Lord give it to me. And in that song, you find the reality of the defeat of Sisera. It was affirmed by looking through the window. Amen. Even the mother of Sisera could not deny it. And Sisera had been done up. And Sisera had been defeated. And all the plans he had against the people of God had been slowed down and overcome. Amen. And I thought about that. I thought about, man, if we just look through the window tonight, we would see that the devil is a defeated foe. And you and I are on the winning side. That the devil may be raging tonight. He may be full of all sorts of schemes and devices and wiles that are designed to bring us down. But I'm telling you, child of God, tonight, if you look through the window, there is in the Word of God a reality that we are more than conquerors and we have the victory, and that our great adversary is on the losing side. Amen. You see that in the Word of God through the window. Amen. That's pretty good, ain't it? 2 Kings 9:32, Jehu is in war with Jezebel. She sees him coming and she knows that she's in trouble. And so she puts on garments and is going to feign herself, trying to disguise herself in an attempt to trick Jehu into not being able to identify her. In 2 Kings 9:32, Jehu, the Bible said, came to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there at the window, the Bible said, Brother Larry, there were two or three eunuchs, amen, that rose to the occasion. And they grabbed Jezebel and throwed her out the window. Amen. I thought about that Jehu, listen, Jehu found unity with a few in the midst of a congregation, in the midst of days where Jezebel had divided the kingdom. And Jezebel, my friend, sought, my friend, to hinder the moving of the power of God in the nation. That Jehu found unity with a few through the window to overcome Jezebel. Amen. To overcome the division. To bring down the wicked woman. Are you listening tonight? Amen. You say, preacher, what do you say? I'm saying tonight we can be unified. Amen. Through the word of God. And we're living in this hodgepodge of religious. Amen. They call it spirituality. And we all got to get along. And we all got to love one another. I got news for you. Amen. There is a fundamental fact. Amen. Brother Larry Raines, I heard him preach years ago at the Sunlight Baptist Church in Kernersville, North Carolina, in their camp meeting. Here's what he preached. He said, I'm preaching today on four facts for fun-filled fellowship. How's that for an alliterated sermon title? Amen. What he was saying is, amen, listen, we can't get along with everybody. There are certain things that are so divisive, you cannot join yourself in unity with it. There are some people you can't have unity with because they have division in their heart. Are you listening? What brings us together? What helps a church overcome division? What helps a church find unity? Don't listen, Jehu, he's a warrior. He's a soldier. He is one that is in the battle. And listen, he found unity with two or three eunuchs. They ain't got nothing in common other than a window. Are you listening? Is that making any sense? Brother Jerry, what unifies Calvary Baptist Tabernacle today? Listen, we all got different personalities. We all live in different addresses. We all have different hobbies and interests and opinions and perceptions about things. But you know what unifies us all to against every division? The window of the Word of God. Amen. And, amen, I ain't going to preach all that. I need to come back and preach on that sometime soon. Amen. Jehu found unity with a few at the window. 2 Kings 13:17. I like this saying. I got to hurry. Joash shot an arrow out of the window in obedience to Elisha. And in doing so was guaranteed victory over Syria. In other words, the man of God said, open the window and shoot an arrow. And when he obeyed the man of God, and my friend opened the window and made an adventurous expedition, if you will, through the window in obedience to the man of God, God guaranteed a victory in Joash's life and kingdom. I think about people's relationship to the man of God and the word of God tonight, and the way that you will have defeat or victory based on your obedience to what, my friend, you're commanded from the word of God. Amen. A lot of people, amen. I know we're living in a day. It's, amen, it's looked down on. You're called a kingdom builder and amen, I've been called warden. It's what one fellow used to call me, Brother Larry, at my first church, a Warden Ledbetter. Amen. That used to bother me it bothered me so much I went to the dictionary and looked up a warden, and it talked about one who, amen, has the charge over criminals. I said, yeah, he about got that right. He don't need a pastor, he needs a warden. Amen. He didn't know how true it was. Amen. But I think about how people have bucked the man of God. That's dangerous. That'll bring defeat to your spiritual life. And I listen, outside of God, outside of the grace of God, outside of the calling of God, and may I say tonight, outside of the authority of the Word of God, I ain't anything. But in all of that, I'm your pastor and your man of God. And I'd be real careful fighting and bucking against the man of God. Open the windows, shoot you an arrow, be something for God, and watch God give you the victory. Amen. Proverbs 7:6, how we doing? The Word of God's like a window. Y'all remember what we're dealing with. I ain't got time to deal with all these. Proverbs 7:6, Solomon was able to discern the way of the simple ones and the work of the strange woman. You know where he discerned all that? He said, I was looking out my window. Just by sitting and watching out the window, he said, I seen the simple young man walk down the road. And I seen the strange woman waiting on him to walk by. She called and he was glad to answer. Solomon said, I was able to discern, amen, that path and that way and that work. And I witnessed the destruction of both of them as they engaged. And he's calling to his son, son, I've seen this from the window. Don't go that way. Amen. If you'll get the Word of God, it'll help keep you from being one of the simple ones. You'll be able to discern the work of strange things. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 3, Solomon challenges the youth to remember and to look to their Creator, lest the time comes, particularly verse number 3, he speaks of when the window is darkened. Amen. I tell you, while the light's shining through the window, amen, in the youthful days, and I would say to the young people and young families of our church, amen, now's the time to be looking to the window of the Word of God. Look through the window and remember your Creator and have a connection with the Lord God of heaven. Because if you don't get it in the days of your youth, this is statistically bears out. At the older you get, the more hardened you become and the more darkened spiritual things are to your life. Song of Solomon, I wish I had time. I may preach this in next week. Song of Solomon 2:9. The beloved, the bride, the woman of the love story in Song of Solomon said that the beloved revealed himself to her through a window of lattice. She said, he came to where I was, and the image that I get that she is portraying is just simply this. He just kept walking back and forth in front of the window. And as he walked and as he stood and as he looked in. Now you know what lattice is. A lattice window doesn't let you see everything. It just gives you small little portions. Amen. And I think that's what the Word of God is. You know, the Word of God didn't tell us everything about our Savior. But it gives us little glimpses and we see a little bit more and reveals more and more to you and I. How's he do that? Through the window of the Word of God. Amen. Acts 20 verse 9. You know this New Testament story, Eutychus. He had the privilege of sitting in a window seat. But due to drifting to sleep, had a tragic fall. I tell you tonight, every child of God can sit at the window. But my friend, don't take it for granted. Don't take it casual. Don't allow the evil of the day and the carnality of the day cause you to drift off spiritually to sleep. You'll have a fall. I could preach there, 2 Corinthians 11:33. Paul spake of a time where the church helped him escape the enemy. How'd they do that? They let him down through a window. Amen. Hallelujah. I see that the man of God was helped by the congregation, and they used a window. There was a window that they was able to use to encourage the man of God. You know what encourages the man of God? You know what keeps the enemy off of the man of God? Is when he sees the congregation, amen, have a relationship with a window. Amen. Boy, a lot we could preach. Y'all reckon that's enough tonight? Can I give you just the thought? I'll be done. When you study out window or windows in the Word of God, here's a phrase. Windows in heaven or windows of heaven is used in 5 verses in the King James Bible. Another reference to it is Isaiah 24:18 speaks of windows on high. That is another reference to windows in or windows of heaven. Here's what you find. It's one of the most common. I know it's only 5 times, but it is a theme in the Word of God from Genesis to Malachi, the windows of heaven. Right? Yeah, take my word for it. Okay. All right. When you study that phrase, now listen, windows in heaven and windows of heaven, it is from windows of heaven that you will find both judgment and blessing proceed. Amen. The same window can either bring judgment upon the evil or blessings upon the godly. Isaiah 24 and in verse number 18, that when the Lord speaks of windows, the windows that are on high, He is speaking of a time of judgment that is going to fall upon those that have ignored His commandments. Amen. And so there's judgment proceeding from the window of heaven. But you remember Malachi chapter number 3 and in verse number 10, maybe the most familiar reference to windows of heaven that are found in the Word of God, that the Lord said, if you'll bring me all the tithes and offerings in the storehouse, He said, here's what I'll do. Then will I open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much that ye shall not be able to receive it. It'll be more than you can contain. Amen. And so the windows of heaven bring judgment. They bring great blessing. And I say tonight, the Word of God, as the window of heaven, brings both judgment and blessing. It'll bust you upside your head, or it'll bless you up one side and down the other of your heart. And how you live and the shape you're in determines whether you get the judgment or the blessing. Is that right? So if you're backbiting and gossiping and running your gums, and the man of God gets up and preaches on that out of the Word of God, what is the Word of God doing? Bringing judgment to you. It's telling you, you need to stop. Amen. Well, if the man of God gets up and preaches Malachi 3:10 on giving and tithes and offerings, and you've been doing that, you know what the Word of God gives you? A blessing. You go, oh, yes, I'm in line with God. This is wonderful. God is blessing me with confirmation of another promise. If you're living in fornication, the man of God gets up, busts it up one side and down the other, preaches Hebrews 13, Amen. Marriage is honorable in all things, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. If you're guilty of that, there's judgment coming from the Word of God. And people get that all mixed up. They say, well, the preacher's judging me. The preacher ain't judging you. The Bible's judging you. This is the window of heaven from which comes judgment and blessing. And in Psalm 119, I promise I'm not preaching that tonight, but in verses 33 through verse number 40, it is David subjecting himself to the window of heaven. He wants the blessings of God on his life. He talks about it. We read it. He doesn't want to live in a way of covetousness. He doesn't want to live unfaithful, unloyal. He doesn't, my friend, want to live a life of the reproach that he fears. So what has he done? But Jack, he's looking through the window of heaven and he's saying, teach me and give me understanding. You know what he's saying? Let me see some things from another dimension. Let me see some things from a new perspective that will help me live a life that God can bless. So here's my thought. I preached all that renewal by Anderson all the way through from Genesis to Corinthians. To give you this, this section we're preaching on the window of heaven. When's the last time you opened it and looked and just gazed through it and got a hold of a new spiritual dimension that you had yet to see, and God let it open up to you in ways? I hope this is making sense. Some of you look like it is. Some of you look so confused. I'm sorry. It's the best I can do tonight. You go home and you look at your windows in your house. I hope you go, man, the Word of God is so wonderful. Amen. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you tonight for the Word of the Lord. As Brother Tim prayed a little while ago, Lord, about the Word of God, and Lord, how we needed it to minister to our heart and life, all the things that you guaranteed it to be. So, Lord, we say amen. Let it be, and may it be a reality. Lord, tonight as we go home, I pray that our spiritual lives would be lived in light of the spiritual window, the Word of God, not the carnal windows that are found out in this world, and Lord, can so easily become attached to our lives. Fleshly windows, worldly windows, satanic windows, ways the gates of hell would have us to view things. Lord, I pray tonight that you would work this evening. Work, O God, Lord, in our life, drawing us closer to the Word of God. We believe, Lord, if we could ever see through the window of the Word of God, we'd be able to see you more clearly. And so remove every obstacle, Lord, every distraction, everything that, Lord, would cause a faded or a dimmed view. I pray, Lord, would be cleared up tonight through the Word of God. Help us, we pray. Bless the ministry the remainder of this week. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.